Welcome to Talking Points. I'm Dr. Michelle, and we have an awesome guest today. But before we get to Varney, I want to first shout out William Patterson University, especially Yoleni Gonell, the Director of Diversity and Inclusion in the Black Cultural Center. So, Varney Jala, I actually
yes.
Awesome having you here. I've known you for many years.
Yes.
And you are a, oh my goodness.
Yeah, go ahead, take your time.
Welcome, Varney Jala. You are a real estate agent.
Correct.
You are a credit coach, and you are also are the author of Share That With Me.
The Not-So-Secret Guide to Boost Your Credit Score. I actually have a copy of it right here.
Yes. Absolutely. Yay. So now, what inspired the book?
So what inspired the book, Shelley? My background. I worked in the financial industry for 10 years. Okay, and once I got into the financial industry, I actually realized that anything that you had to do, they was always checking your credit for it. Okay, so I was like, man, we haven't learned about this in high school. We definitely didn't learn about it in college. So from there, I pretty much started doing my research on it. Okay, what is there any information out there where I can learn about this? Come to find out, there's not a lot of information out there. So once I started learning the ins and outs, about credit, from there I started doing my research, started documenting different things and so on and so forth. Then from there I started helping my friends and family with their credit. And next thing you look, a lot of people started coming to me like, hey, why don't I need help with this? I'm just like, man, you know, everybody started coming to me for it. And I was like, man, I can't really take on all these clients. What can I do to be able to give that information, put that information back out there? And that's how I came up with, and that's when I came up with this book, The Not-So-Secret Guide to Boost Your Credit Score.
That is so awesome. How long has this been in circulation?
I actually been doing this for, I want to say 7 years now. I actually been doing it on the side for like 7 years, just helping family and friends. But the opportunity presented itself a few years ago for me to leave corporate, and I opened up my own firm. And my firm is pretty much is designed to help individuals that's trying to take advantage of their financial, take control of their financial situations to be able to purchase a home, purchase a car, or start a business.
I love it. So all of your skill sets, the coaching aspect, of course, with the credit repair, as well as just purchasing a home, that all goes together in what you actually do in your profession.
Correct. So
I actually have a question about that. When it comes to your credit score, how does it really impact your interest rates when you're trying to purchase a home? And then how does that impact your monthly payments over time?
Great question, Dr. Michelle. So it all depends on what type of loan you're getting for your mortgage. So first time FHA loan, the requirement, it can be as low as 580. I think ever since COVID, they actually increased the requirements up to, I think it's about 680. Yeah. And some banks are even asking for a 700 credit score. Okay, and some people might use a conventional loan, which the requirement's a little bit higher. So let's just say you have an individual that purchased a home with a 680 score, the bare minimum 680 score. So that individual might be paying 5% on their loan. And let's say you have an individual here that purchased a home with a 760 credit score. So the same loan amount, same loan, the individual with the higher credit scores more likely might be paying anywhere between 2.8% and 3%. So the difference between that, the difference between the 2.8% and the 5%, the individual with the lower credit score, you're talking about anywhere between a few hundred bucks a month.
Wow. So once they get, of course, approved for that interest
rate, correct,
their monthly mortgage will be about $200 difference, depending on how high your credit score and how low the interest rate.
Correct.
Wow.
Yeah, so if you think about it, let's just say the difference is 200 bucks over a 30-year time frame, it would add up.
Yeah, that does. So now let's talk about the myths and truths to just credit history or not credit history, the myths and truths of really having sound credit, what people really believe it would take for them to develop their credit score, and what they shouldn't be believing. It's not going to help their credit score. So now, what would you say about credit limit? What people should know about a credit limit?
Credit limit. So here's Before we get into the credit limit, there's one thing I want people to understand how your credit score is calculated. Okay. So you have 30, 35, 30, 15, 10, and 10, right? So 35% of your score is calculated based on you making your payments on time. So on a scale from 300 to 850, that's 192 points just in that category alone. Okay. 30% of your score is based on your utilization and the amount of debt that you owe. Okay. So on a scale from 300 to 850, that's 162 points that you can take advantage of. Okay. 15% of your score is credit age. How long have you had credit? Then you have 10% of your score, which is credit mix, making sure you have a nice mix of credit. And 10% of your score is based off a new credit, which is inquiries. Okay. So to answer your question, as far as credit limit, I usually encourage, my clients or coaching students, I usually encourage them to make sure that they keep their utilization between 1% and 7%, which will be another myth that I'm pretty sure we're getting into. A lot of people think that when it comes down to your credit utilization, you should keep it at 30%. Then no, you want to make sure that you keep it between 1% and 7%. Okay, so let's say you have a credit card, the limit on that card is $1,000. The most you can put in that card will be, I usually recommend to keep it, you have a card that's $1,000, I usually recommend don't put no more than $70 on that card. Okay, so just to go back to the 30% myths, I like to tell a lot of my clients, hey, just treat that card as your limit is 30%. So if your limit is $1,000, just treat your limit on that card now as $300. Try to make sure that you're not going anywhere near that $300 mark.
I love that advice, because oftentimes people believe that if they've been approved for a certain credit limit, they can utilize the entirety of that credit. That's a really bad presumption.
You cannot do that.
30% may be what people think is right, but you're saying it's even as low as 1% to 7% usage of that particular limit.
Correct.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's good though. Good information. Mm-hmm. Okay. So now, let's talk about this. What is the significance of the closeout date on your credit?
Great question, Michelle. Which is that actually is another myth that's out there. So a lot of people think like, hey, you know, I should pay my credit card by the due date. Okay, so you always want to make sure that you pay off the balance by the statement closing date. So you have your statement closing date, which is usually probably about 10 or 15 days before the due date. And in order for you to find your statement closing date, you definitely want to contact your credit card company and just find out, hey, when exactly is the statement closing date? You can usually find it on your statement bill as well. Okay, so you always want to make sure that you pay off that balance by the statement closing date. Michelle, here's an example I usually show to my clients or when I'm doing presentation. Here's an example that I usually show just to give you a better understanding on why you should pay why you should make your payments before the statement closing date compared to you making your payments on the due date. Okay, so this little graph here is pretty much showing you how your credit card is calculated. Okay, mm-hmm. So you're spending. Then you have your statement closing date here. Okay, continue to spend. Then you have your due date here. Okay, you pay off the balance. Then your balance drops. Okay. Mm-hmm. Then again, you repeat the cycle again. You spend. You have your statement closing date here. Continue. Then you have your due date here. You pay off the balance. Your balance drops. Okay. I'm going to do it one more time. You spend. Have your statement closing date here. Then you have your due date here. Then you pay it off. Okay. Yep. You can see that?
I can.
Okay. So I feel like a professor here. Okay.
So, doing a good one.
Thank you. So by you paying off your balance before the statement closing date right here,
mm-hmm.
Okay, you're always going to, the credit card company is always going to report a low balance, okay? But if you continue to make your payments on your due date right here, the credit card company is always going to report a high balance. Okay, so you always want to make sure that, you know, right here, your statement date, let's say it's the 15th, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, you always want to make sure you make this payment by the 13th.
Got it. Okay. So two days before the statement closing date.
Statement closing date, you want to make sure you have that payment in two days before the statement closing date. That would give the credit card enough time for your payments to post and so on and so forth.
Okay.
All right. So actually, you understand?
I definitely do. I actually have a couple of questions regarding that. Okay. So if, let's say, when you look at your statement closing date, what you're suggesting is to identify what that is, and that's generally the last day of your paying period. Is that clear? And is that correct?
Okay, so your statement closing date, here's a good way to remember it. Your statement closing date, whatever balance you have on your statement closing date, will be the balance the credit card company reports to the credit bureaus, mm-hmm. Okay? Whatever balance you have on your due date, That's the amount the credit card company would charge you interest on.
Okay.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Thank you for the illustration.
No problem. Let's get that out the way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So going into credit myths and truths, most people want to pay down their balance to a place where there's no balance at all. Is that good? Is that problematic? If so,
so that right there is based on how your scores are calculated. So as far as you paying your balance down to zero, believe it or not, if you pay your balance down to zero, you will get some tax on that. When I say tax, as far as your scores will take a little dip on it. So going back to that, to the example I just gave you. So let's say just use the same credit card. You have a credit card that balances $1,000, right? So come to statement, before the statement closing date, let's say your balance on there is $100, okay? So I usually recommend go ahead and pay it off, pay $98 on there, okay? Leave the extra $2. Then once your due date comes, pay off the $2 because by you doing it that way, by you paying off the $98, the $2 that's remaining, they're going to report that to the credit bureau saying, hey, you know, your credit card balance is only $2. Then in order for you to avoid paying the interest on that amount, just pay it off by the due date.
Okay. So, and then go back to that whole up and down pattern of usage. So once it goes down to zero, or once it goes down to $100, you pay $98 during the statement closing date so that you have a remaining balance on there.
Yes,
but pay it right before your due date so that you don't have to pay the interest on it. Then go ahead back to your usage plan that you were doing in the same cycle.
Exactly. And by you doing that over time, you definitely start to see your scores increase. And even just using that one tip by just paying off your balance before the statement closing date, start doing that with the next couple of months, you would definitely see your scores increase just by simply using that one strategy. Hey, let me just pay off my credit cards by my statement closing date. Over time, you'll start to see your scores increase.
And that's a great point. So anyone can start at any time once they know what their statement closing date, even if they were off with the, you know, the previous months before, they could say, well, I know what it is now. I'm going to start today, make my usual payments in order for me to ensure that my credit could potentially go up.
Correct. Yeah. So, and anybody that has credit cards can simply just make that small switch. Hey, you know what? Instead of me paying it by the due date, let me just start making my payments before the statement closing date. Then leave a small balance on there by my due date. I just set up another payment to be able to sweep the balance. That's it.
Awesome. So now, do people tend to think that there's a certain amount of credit cards you should have, or rather I should ask it this way, is there a limit to how many credit cards you should have?
It all depends on the individual's credit profile. So I usually recommend, as far as revolving credit, which is about 65% of your score. So I usually recommend that you have anywhere between 3 to 5. Some people might think, oh, that's too much. But again, based on how your score is calculated, 60% of your score is how you can revolve and credit, which is, you know, credit cards.
So I usually more time just because it got glitchy.
Okay. Yeah. So I usually recommend anywhere between, again, it depends on the individual's credit profile. So I usually recommend anywhere between 3 to 5 revolving accounts, because revolving accounts are 65% of your scores. Okay. So again, I lost my train of thought.
Okay, I'm going to chop it up. So you can start right where you are.
Yeah. Yeah, so it all depends on the individual's credit profile, but having like a nice, healthy credit profile, I recommend you have anywhere between 3 to 5 revolving accounts.
That's great. Okay. Yeah. Good to know. Okay, so now, anything concerning someone that, I guess, if I have a credit card, I had this credit card for 20 years, you know, I paid it off, you know, I don't want to use it anymore. I feel like I have too many credit cards or whatever the situation is, but I decide to close this particular credit card out. What are your thoughts on that?
The worst thing you can do. Worst thing you can do. So remember, going back to the 35, 30, 15, 10, and 10. 15% of your score is how long you have credit. 15% of your score is your credit age. So if you have a credit card that's 20 years old, and you decide, hey, you know what? I'm closing out these cards. I don't want these credit cards anymore. Guess what? Now you're losing 20 years worth of credit history. Okay, so that's actually one of the worst things you can do is close out a card that you have for 20 years. So I would highly recommend do not close out any credit cards. Just every few months, just try to go in there and just use that card. Every few months, try to go in there and just use that card, even if you just might guess and go ahead and pay it off. So that way you're showing some type of active activity on that card.
Because it goes back to not wanting to have a 0% balance.
So exactly.
Together.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's all about playing a game and knowing how to play it. That's all.
Nice. And that's it's so funny how that is the case with credit. People don't realize, and it's almost the same, and this is a little off topic, but it's the same for taking tests. There's always like a method to how to do something. It's not always about intellect, it's about just being savvy with almost like chess, just being savvy with the game of life or what have you. So So take me through, I guess, credit cards that could really cater to lifestyle. What is there a such thing? And if so, what does that look like?
And that's something that actually I teach in my program as well. So, you know, pretty much teaching my clients how to build, repair, and protect their credit. Then once they graduate from the program, I usually have them get one last final credit card that's going to match their lifestyle. So if you like to travel, which I'm a huge fan of, I'll recommend that you get you a frequent flyer card that you can use for your everyday day-to-day expense. But before we get into that, Dr. Michelle, I just want to throw a disclaimer out there. Okay, when it comes down to I think I might have to chop this part up.
You want to
Okay, so now what was the question again? Okay, yeah, I got it. Okay, so as far as this is actually something that I teach in my program. So in our program, we actually teach you how to build, repair, and protect your credit. Once you graduate from the program, usually get you one last final card that all depends on your preference. Okay, if you like to travel, we'll find the best freaking flyer card out there for you. If you're not a big fan of traveling, then from there, we'll usually recommend you get like a cashback card. Okay. So in the benefit of you doing that is, so it's simply you're actually being rewarded for paying your bills. And believe it or not, Michelle, it's actually more safe to use a credit card compared to using your debit card. Okay. I actually had a friend of mine that, you know, everything that's going on now with the, you know, you turn around, you had this company got compromised, your information is there. So I actually had a friend of mine, she had her debit card was compromised and someone had her account and cleaned that account.
Okay. Say that one part again because it's chopping up on your end.
Okay, so I'm sorry. So I actually had a friend of mine. She actually had her debit card that was compromised. So they hacked into her account and pretty much cleaned out her account. Okay. So and this is the reason why I say it's more safe to use a credit card compared to using your debit card. Okay. So in her situation, they hacked into her account, cleaned out her account. Okay. Now you still have. You have your credit cards, you still have your card payments. So this part, you cannot call the users and say, hey, you know, my credit compromised. You guys, you know, work with me. Okay. If you're 30 days late, you're on your credit report. Same situation happened to me. on my credit card, I started looking at my statements, and I was like, man, I started seeing charges in Connecticut. So I called up my credit card company. I said, hey, I did not authorize these charges. And within a matter of, I'm saying like 3 days, they closed the account, they overnighted me a new card, and reversed those charges. In her situation, I want to say it took her a few weeks to get that situation resolved, because none of the banks have to do their investigation and so on and so forth. And that process can take a whole lot longer. So that's the reason why I say, hey, it's more safe for you to use a credit card compared to you using your debit card.
Wonderful advice. Because I don't know if most people think that they're safer to use their bank because, you know, they may have been with that bank for so long. And I don't know. I guess it's just a misconception, because in my mind, I'm thinking that, you know, my bank would have my back. And they do, it sounds like, but it just takes longer for them to go through the motions.
Yeah, so it's a longer process for them to do their investigation, find out where who took your money and so on so forth, then for them to refund you that money. But with a credit card, you can call them up, say, hey, you know, like I said, I called on my company, credit card company. I'm like, hey, I don't live in Connecticut. These charges are in Connecticut. And it was like, you know, when we closed the account, $1, they reversed the charges and they overnighted me in my card. So my process took a few days. Her process took a few weeks.
Wow.
Yeah.
Great advice. Mm-hmm. So now, when it comes to, I guess, developing the points for the lifestyle cards, which that's what I'm referring to. I don't know if that's anymore. But it's going to be, like you said, the cash back card if you're not a big traveler, or the traveling card if you are, where you're using it as a regular credit card, but you get points that go toward whatever purpose, whether it's cash back or a potential trip.
Correct. So yeah, so as far as like the if you're a traveler looking to getting the frequent flyer card, if you're not a traveler, you're like, hey, you know what, I want the cash. And I actually had one of my students just graduated from the program. I just love telling her story, because she came into the program, she was paying 20% on her car loan. So, okay, so 20% interest on her car loan. So I want to say her payments were roughly about $500 a month. So we went in there, created a game plan. We helped her get her scores up. She was able to refinance that car loan, going from $500 down to $300 a month. So now she's saving an extra $200 a month. And she said, you know what? So I explained to her different things, different options that she has, what she can do with that money. She can save it. She said, you know what? I have my daughter, you know, I think her daughter is like 2. So I explained different options she can use to, you know, take that money and put it towards some type of educational savings account, either like an ESA or a 529 account. So she took the extra $200. She's now saving every month, putting that into a 529 account for her daughter. So now when her daughter turns 18, ready to go off to college, she have funds available to be able to, you know, to be able to take advantage of tuition, books, and so on and so forth. So once she got done with the program, she said, "Hey, I'm not a big traveler." I said, "That's fine." So we found her a cashback card. So now she's going to use whatever cash she accumulates just simply by paying her bills. She'll use the cash towards her Roth IRA. So these are the different options that you know, we teach our clients in the program. It's not just about credit, okay? Simply by taking these small steps, that can save you a few $100 a month, and now you can use that. Now you can use that money and put it in different vehicles to be able to, you know. So with her particular situation, she was able to go from paying in, you know, a car loan, which is paying 20% on with interest. So she was able to refinance, go from paying $500 a month down to $300 a month. She took the extra $200 and put it into a 529 account for her daughter. Then once we got her final card, she chose the option, hey, I want to get a cashback card. So we found her a cashback card. She said, you know what, whatever points and whatever amount of cash I accumulate from this card, I'm going to put that into my Roth IRA account.
Love that. Yes. And I love the lifestyle revisions that were happening there. Because even just the story, it just shows that, okay, I may have been spending more than I should be because my credit isn't quite where it needs to be. Now that it's repaired, it has modified the amount that I owe because my interest rates improved. So now I can, instead of me just saying, okay, I have an extra $200 that I can use wherever, the mindset also shifted. So now I'm going to invest that money into my child's education. So by the time they're ready, they have enough to fund it.
Exactly. Yeah, that's actually one of my favorite stories. Just, you know, taking her from having bad credit to good credit, then being able to, you know, think about it. You're paying an extra whole $200 a month in interest, and now you're taking that money and investing into your child's future. Yeah.
Wow. And that's why I love this whole idea of how credit score is so important, and people know it, but I don't know if they realize just how important it is because of all the money you can save just by having a good credit score, because it impacts your interest rate.
Exactly. So another thing too is, a lot of people don't understand this, when it comes down to credit, it actually is one of the most determining factor for whatever you're applying for. Believe it or not, the main factor when it comes down to you getting insurance, car insurance, is actually is your credit. So there was actually a research done a few years back where you had with a DUI, great credit. You have driver B, clean record, horrible credit. Who do you think is going to pay the most in insurance?
The one that had the DUI and had great credit. I threw it all off. DUI had the better credit. He's actually going to pay less.
Exactly. Yep. Yeah. So the guy with the DUI with great credit would pay less than the individual, the driver with horrible credit and clean driving record.
Isn't that a shame? But I guess it makes sense when it comes to those numbers.
Exactly.
So, any advice you would give anyone in addition to what we've already discussed?
And any advice that I would give to anybody that's listening to this is just go ahead and start taking action. Okay, so a lot of people don't take a look at their credit reports. Okay, and there was actually a stat that was done out there showing 80% of the credit reports out there have some type of wrong information. So there's tons of tools out there you can use to be able to look at your credit report. I know a lot of people use Credit Karma. I'm not a huge advocate for Credit Karma because Credit Karma is only giving you access to two scores. So you can go to your annual credit report and get and request a free copy. Just take a look at your credit report. You'll be surprised. You might have stuff on there that's not supposed to be on there. And the federal statute of limitations states that, you know, any negative items on your report have to stay on there for 7 years, 180 days from the last activity. So you might have things on there that's 10 years old that you can simply, you know, write a letter to the credit bureaus and just ask them, hey, this is outside of my statute of limitations. Can you guys take it off my report? And just by removing certain derogatory marks, that can give your scores a nice little boost.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Barney Dalla, guys. Great information. I hope you guys really take it in.
Thank you so much for having me, Dr. Michelle.
No problem. So, guys, thank you for being around and being a part of this experience with myself and Barney. Please rate, subscribe, and comment to the page. We'll see you soon. Bye, guys.
Take care.